北京外国语大学，北京外语音像出版社。
The Beijing Foreign Languages Audiovisual Publishing House, Beijing Foreign Studies University.
The Age of Fable. Chapter 1.
The Origin of the Gods.
Today, the religions of ancient Greece are extinct.Instead of worshipping the gods or goddesses of Mount Olympus, nowadays people read stories about these mythical characters for entertainment. Although they are ancient, these stories are still valuable. They portray the best and worst of human behavior. These stories provide valuable insight into who we are and why we act as we do. Before earth and sea and heaven were created, all things were gathered in one confused and shapeless mass called chaos.In chaos slept the seeds of all things. The first god to come into existence was Gaia, Mother Earth. No one knows where she came from or how she came into being. As she slept, Gaia gave birth to Uranus, Father Sky. He became her husband, and together they had many children.Their first three children were called the Hundred-Handed Ones. They were huge, powerful monsters with 50 heads and 100 hands. They were hideous to look at and extremely destructive. They played with earthquakes, thunder, and lightning like toys, and they always fought with each other. The Hundred-Handed Ones hated their father, and for this, Uranus decided to push them deep into the earth. He imprisoned them there in a place calledTartarus. Tartarus was so deep underground that it was even below Hades, the underworld that was formed later as the final destination for the dead. No god, however powerful, could escape this terrible place. After the Hundred-Handed Ones, three Cyclops were born. They were huge giants who had only one eye in the middle of their foreheads. One Cyclop represented thunder, another lightning,and the last, the lightning bolt. The Cyclops were the first ones to shape metal to make armor and weapons. Uranus feared their power also, and he threw them into Tartarus as well. The third race of beings created by Gaia and Uranus were the Titans. They were born huge and powerful like their elder brothers, but they were not as ugly.They were 12 in number, 6 male and 6 female. The Titans set about creating things like the moon, the seas, mountains, forests, and plains. They married each other and gave birth to a great number of other beings. These children became the lesser gods and goddesses of all the natural features of the earth. For example, the first two Titans were Oceanus and Tethys.Oceanus formed the ocean that surrounded the earth. He married his sister Tethys, who gave birth to the three great rivers known to the Greeks, including the Nile in Egypt. They also had more than 3,000 other children.
Their sons were called Oceanids, and their daughters were nymphs or Oceanides.
Each became the minor god or goddess of a river, stream, spring, lake, or pond.The imprisonment of the Hundred-Handed Ones and the Cyclops hurt Gaia. She began to encourage the Titans to rebel against Father Sky. Cronus was the youngest and the bravest of the Titans. He promised his mother that he would defeat his father and free her children. When Uranus spread himself over the earth, Cronus leapt up and swung his scythe. He seriously wounded Uranus by cutting off a vital organ. This organ fell into the ocean, where it created the goddess of love, Aphrodite. Uranus withdrew from Earth, and from that time on, the sky and the Earth never touched again. Uranus cursed Cronus, saying that one of Cronus's children would rise up against him, just as Cronus had risen up against Uranus. Once Cronus had defeated Uranus, he married his sister Rhea and took his father's throne on Mount Othrys. They gave birth to many children. However, Cronus was cruel to these children because he remembered his father's curse. To prevent his children from revolting against him, he swallowed them whole as soon as they were born. They were immortal, so they could not die. Instead, they continued to grow within their father. When Rhea was pregnant with her sixth child, she was determined not to let her husband swallow it also. After giving birth to a son, she wrapped a stone in a blanket to give to her husband.
Cronus quickly swallowed the stone, not realizing it was not the newborn baby.
Rhea hid her son on the island of Crete. She named him Zeus and waited for him to grow up. When Rhea thought Zeus was strong enough to challenge his father, she brought Zeus back to the palace. She gave Zeus a potion to give Cronus. As soon as the king drank it, he began to vomit. One by one, Zeus's older brothers and sisters were thrown from Cronus's heaving mouth. When Cronus realized what was happening, he knew that Zeus was his child. Uranus's curse was coming true. Gasping and weak, Cronus fled the palace to gather his strength and to call for help from his brothers and sisters. Zeus and his siblings were much weaker than their father's generation. Zeus took them to Mount Olympus to organize. A titan named Prometheus joined them. Prometheus's name meant forethought because he could see into the future. He saw that Zeus would win this war. Prometheus advised Zeus to unlock the Hundred-Handed Ones and the Cyclops from their prison. Zeus threw open the gates of Tartarus and set his uncles free. The Hundred-Handed Ones hurled boulders 100 at a time against the Titans. The Cyclops made lightning bolts for Zeus to use as weapons. They also gave Poseidon a magical trident. With it, Poseidon could shake the earth and shatter any object. For Hades, the Cyclops fashioned a helmet that made the wearer invisible. With these weapons and the strength of their new allies, the Olympians won their 10-year war against the Titans. This war was so terrible that it nearly destroyed the world. Old Father Sky became so weak that he was in danger of collapsing onto Mother Earth. After the Olympians were victorious, Zeus condemned the Titan Atlas to support the sky on his shoulders for eternity. Today, Mount Atlas in northwestern Africa still seems to hold up the sky. Zeus put Cronus and his allies, except for Atlas, of course, in Tartarus. Then he assigned the Hundred-Handed Ones to guard the gates of Tartarus for all time. With the entire world open to them after the war, the Olympians chose the summit of Mount Olympus for their home. Mount Olympus lay in the center of Greece. Some ancient Greeks thought of Mount Olympus as more than a real mountain. They imagined it as some mysterious region far above all the mountains of the earth. Wherever it was, the entrance to the home of the gods was a great gate of clouds kept by the seasons. Beyond these gates were the gods' dwellings. It was a place of perfect peace. The Greek poet Homer wrote that no wind ever shook the peace of Olympus. No rain or snow ever fell there. The cloudless blue heaven stretched around it on all sides, and the yellow glory of sunshine bathed its walls.